The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. We are live in studio, and it is a post-Thanksgiving special broadcast. We are here in the studio taking your calls, sharing some stories, 800-222-5222. By the way, if you are interested in the miraculous properties of your body, the body has regenerative abilities. We have an immune system. It's really fascinating when you really study what we're capable of and the healing that we have intrinsically inside. There's a wonderful place in Pasadena. A friend of mine, Dr. John Shea, is the founder of RejuvieU. They do a lot of amazing things. They have the latest in regenerative and rejuvenation procedures. You know, if you have aches and pains, they also do aesthetics. They do a number of things that will enhance your ability to heal, if you will. When I met Dr. Shea years ago, he quizzed me. You know what the largest organ is in the body? I did not have the answer. It's your skin. And I'm like, what? He's an amazing guy. And I'm sure for the holidays, they've got special packages for those of you that are interested in finding out more. Especially, I talk a lot about their regenerative and rejuvenation procedures. Everybody can benefit from it. The number at RejuvieU is 626-551-4800. 626-551-4800, or just go to RejuvieU.com. Let them know that you listen to this program. They'll give you special care at RejuvieU. I highly, highly support what they do. They do amazing work at RejuvieU. By the way, tonight, Anna is running the board. Adam is here to screen your calls. 800-222-5222 are the numbers. I'm going to take Brent in Los Angeles in a moment. And if you care to weigh in and not call the program, the email address is frank@kmgministries.com. We had a couple of cranky guys a little while ago, didn't bother to call in. They wanted to say how much they don't like me. Whatever. Amy just emailed me. She made mention of the documentary Died Suddenly. She said, I watched it. It was very disturbing. Fauci recalls nothing. All I know is this must stop. Keep up the good work. Best, Amy. Yeah, we've got a little bit of a transcription of Fauci appearing in front of a lawsuit this week. The guy feigned amnesia in a lot of ways. It's just amazing. Also, the scientists have studied 12 different face masks. You may be surprised to find out what they discovered. And some other stories as well. Let me take Brent in Los Angeles. Brent, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Hello, Brent.
Hello, Frank. Welcome back. I was getting nervous.
Thank you. Good to hear your voice as well.
Well, I wanted to talk about the wickedly woke desecration of Thanksgiving by now the Luciferian left NFL and their sexual and psychological abuse of children. And I am really becoming so upset that Thanksgiving, a time that should be a time of sanctity and sublimity, is now being transitioned into a time for gluttony and alcoholism, drug addiction, perversion, and just never-ending false and mendacious accusations and insults about genocidal colonialism, imperialism, and predator pilgrims, and just the lies that surround it. And, of course, the left has to try and destroy this day because, and I think the very fact that they work so hard to destroy Thanksgiving shows just how holy it actually is. And I think we, American patriots, we've got to reclaim this happy, profound, holy day of Thanksgiving and view it with a lot more seriousness than we have had. I think the Thanksgiving dinner table, it should be seen as a sacred table. And I saw a parallel to the Passover Haggadah when you're recounting events that are essential not only for what happened you know, many, many years ago, but are happening, the principles and the ideas are currently still taking place. And, you know, Thanksgiving is about as a time of, in effect, freeing ourselves from tyranny of Europe, coming more for a time of freedom. And now it's as if Thanksgiving, they want, you know, the socialists want to just return us to the slavery which we have been clawing out of for centuries.
Brent, let me ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you read a lot?
Yes.
Why would you read a lot, and tell us more about why you do that?
Just to get more insights, to be more aware. It's pleasurable. I mean, it's one of those things. And also, I like to watch a lot of documentaries as well, and old movies. And I'm very much into the idea of early Hollywood and the patriotism it had, and how there was a love of America and a love for God, and how this has all been so transitioned.
You mentioned the NFL. We've got about 30 seconds. What about the NFL? Like, I know the answer, and I could probably do a five-minute diatribe on how they've gone woke, but you brought up the NFL at the very beginning of your call. Why?
Well, because you brought that up. Weren't you talking about the halftime game?
Oh, I did.
That you found so upsetting you couldn't even explain that on the air. And what is that all about? Since when did it come? You know, you can't take children to sporting events anymore. It's just injuring them, their worldview and their outlook. It's just so ugly.
Brent, I'm always grateful to hear from you. Thank you for calling tonight. God bless you.
You too.
For those of you that missed the earlier call last hour, a man called in and made mention of the halftime show of the Bills-Lions game. And I also just happened to turn on the TV, and at halftime, the performance, it was, I just thought, this is demonic. I mean, it was so appalling, and I thought, if any children are watching this, I mean, there was a lot of dancing and green, provocative dressing and dancing and grabbing, and it was just, it was appalling. And it seems to be becoming more and more normalized. And the NFL is woke. Professional sports have gone woke. It's time to wake up, my friends. 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. Let me read something that is a commentary by a man named Michael Schellenberger. He's a journalist. And I'll be brief. I'm not going to go in great detail. Some of you may know a bit or a lot about the Great Reset. And there's a lot of stuff flying around out there. You know, I think about George Soros or Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and globalism and lockdowns and digital passports and a lot of very concerning things. Well, Schellenberger wrote this piece. I'm only going to read an excerpt from it. It's called "The Great Reset is Real and Wreaking Havoc. Why Are Global Elites Demanding Poor Nations Make Energy Expensive?" Right. Part of it is you hear about global warming, climate change, right? Especially here in California, everybody's got to drive an electric vehicle. Let's not talk about how damaging to the environment EVs are, let alone how less reliable they are than regular gas-powered vehicles. By the way, I'm not making it up. That's according to a Consumer Reports 2022 survey. Consumer Reports is about non-biased as they come. They say electric vehicles are very much less reliable than gas-powered cars. Here's what Schellenberger writes in part about the Great Reset. Over the last decade, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank have all urged poor nations to stop subsidizing fossil fuels. Quote, "End fossil fuel subsidies, reset the economy for a better world," end quote, read the headline of a World Economic Forum article about the launch of its Great Reset initiative. The World Economic Forum article quoted the managing director of the IMF, Kristalina Georgieva, quote, "We now have to step up, use all the strength we have, which is in the case of the IMF is $1 trillion, to create the Great Reset, not the Great Reversal." By reversal, she meant returning to the use of fossil fuels after the pandemic. Last week, the government of the small Caribbean island of Haiti took the advice of the IMF, WEF, and World Bank, announced the end of fuel subsidies. The result? Riots, looting, and chaos, which is very common, by the way. Over 40 nations since 2005 have triggered riots after cutting fuel subsidies or otherwise raising energy prices. It happened earlier this year in Kazakhstan, Ecuador in 2019, Nigeria in 2012, Bolivia in 2010, Indonesia in 2005. Researchers say what's interesting, quote, is that the story plays out in almost the same way and the consequences of both action and inaction are very similar as well, end quote. All of which begs the question, why, if cutting fuel subsidies results in social chaos and the overthrow of governments, do global elites at the WEF, UN, and World Bank keep demanding poor nations to do it? In 2017, an obscure agency within the World Bank called the Energy Subsidy Reform Facility, ESRF, published a report about what went wrong with its 2014 efforts in Haiti to remove fuel subsidies. In it, ESRF revealed itself to be the architect of the Haitian government's plan to cut fuel subsidies. They ran economic simulations to predict the impact of price increases on different social groups, held workshops with government officials, staffed a, quote, interministerial reform committee, end quote, to devise ways to contain possible social and political unrest. The report is so damning, the World Bank, well, held back on some of the findings. So what is it? If this is supposedly good for the planet, why does it lead to so much social unrest and rioting and looting? Kind of makes you wonder if it's intentional. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. More of the Frank Sontag Show next, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. We are live on this Friday evening, day after Thanksgiving. I pray you and yours had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And we are here in studio sharing information, talking about life, taking your phone calls, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Now, I don't know if you live in areas by which you had some high winds recently. Out by me, SoCal Edison sent us warnings for like 5 days about power probably being shut off on Thanksgiving Day. And look, if you live in California for at least a year, you know that this is a problem. Whether it's high winds, whether it's in the summertime, managing the power grid. We hear so much about electric vehicles, the way of the future, and how somehow magically we're going to have enough charging stations and the grid's going to somehow be built 50 times over to take on all this new challenges with EVs, let alone actually making electric vehicles. So I'm not here to scare you. That's what the mainstream media does. But I'm here to maybe sometimes shock you with information to kind of wake you up and say, splash some cold water on your face and jump into reality. We're not here to be afraid, but denial is the 51st state. We don't want to live in the state of denial. Life intrinsically is good. God has made you with a plan and a purpose. But so many people think that ignorance is bliss. No, ignorance is ignorance. So I am very informationally heavy. I think as I shared with some of the previous callers, reading is important. Informing yourself is important. Not acting like, well, you know, I don't know. I didn't know that. I watched the mainstream media. Don't watch the mainstream media. They're purveyors of propaganda. You want to talk about fear-mongering and fear porn. You can't benefit from anything by watching the mainstream media, let alone a whole lot of what comes out of that box. So when it comes to the power grid in our country, I want you to listen to this story. Headline, a surprising threat to the United States power grid could plunge the country into darkness. Now, when you hear that, all sorts of nefarious plots come to mind. But wait to hear the real threat. This is important. All of the major power grids in the world, of all of them, the United States is one of the most vulnerable to attack. This is according to a piece by John McKillian at the Epoch Times. State-sponsored hackers from the likes of Iran, Russia, and unsurprisingly, China, pose a real threat to the United States' electrical transmission lines. However, with a capital H, there's another, far less obvious threat to the grid. Electric vehicles. What? That can't be correct. Yeah, you heard it right. Listen to this. The Biden administration is desperate to consign the internal combustion engine to the dustbin of history. In this radical shift to embrace a new zero-emission world, Americans are being told to embrace EVs. Such an embrace, however, requires a stellar power grid, the very thing the United States lacks. Just to be clear, the United States power grid involves a huge network of transmission lines, power plants, and distribution centers. The United States has three major grids, the Eastern Grid, the Western Grid, and the ERCOT Grid, otherwise known as the Texas Grid. Of the three, the Eastern Grid is the largest. Stay with me, please. Although the three grids can operate independently, they are also very much connected. A recent paper published by In Applied Energy discussed the threats of EVs to the grid. I want you to think about this as you drive your Tesla down the freeway, thinking somehow you're saving the environment. Currently, there are 2.5 million electric vehicles in the United States. 4 in 5 of the owners of an electric vehicle opt to charge their cars overnight. This decision, according to researchers, is putting a considerable strain on the power grid. By 2025, the United States is projected to have more than 20 million EVs on its road. According to Bloomberg, by 2030, more than half of car sales will be electric if things are pushed the way we are hearing now. The strain is increasing and power grids are ill-equipped to shoulder the load. The United States currently has 55 power plants. To facilitate a new electric vehicle revolution, the U.S. requires many more. What would happen if, say, the power grid was to fail in an EV-crazed California? To answer that question, we need only rewind a few months. This past summer, plagued by hot temperatures, California's power grid came incredibly close to collapsing. The grid's going to be tested again. With California's desire to boost EV sales, the next test could prove to be an unmitigated disaster. Energy is a finite resource, a fact that seems to be lost on so many EV enthusiasts. In truth, the nation's power grid is already on its last legs. It's been for years. In a sobering piece for the Smithsonian Magazine, Masoud Amin, a professor of electrical and computer engineering at the University of Minnesota, explained the many ways in which the country's power grid, the most complex one ever assembled, explained the many ways it could fail. The grid, he wrote, quote, underpins our economy, our quality of life, our society, end quote. Without it, society would be brought to a screeching halt. Crime would rise. Lives would be lost. Chaos would reign supreme. By 2025, which is just a few years away, according to the American Society for Civil Engineers, The inability of the United States to maintain its many power lines will cost the country dearly, $130 billion to be exact. Electric vehicles, so often hailed as the best thing since sliced bread, come with a whole host of sizable problems. According and all across the United States, author Ben Guest recently noted there are currently 21 electric vehicles per public charging port. I want you to think about this. 21 on average per public charging port across the United States. By 2030, to keep up with the projections, the United States must install almost 500 charging ports every day for the next 8 years. Let me say it again. Over the next 7 years, to keep up with the trends, we must install almost 500 charging ports every day for the next 8 years. Is that even realistic to you? Finally, even if the U.S. does somehow manage to install enough ports, the grid simply is not strong enough to support the battery-related demands. Author of this piece says this is a point that needs to be emphasized repeatedly and unapologetically. Yes, state-sponsored hackers are a threat, but state-sponsored EV initiatives aren't exactly harmless, Governor Gavin Newsom. In the blind embrace of all things green, we must not lose sight of the bigger picture, the objective realities that stare us straight in the face. You can find that entire commentary at the Epoch Times. It's entitled, "A Surprising Threat to the U.S. Power Grid Could Plunge the Country into Darkness." And for the sake of being consistent, I'm not against electric vehicles. I just think we need to have a balance of things. It's not an all or nothing thing. Just like if somebody wants to take a jab, okay, it shouldn't be mandated. If somebody wants to drive a gas turbine car instead of an electric vehicle, they should be allowed to do that. Not this big push. Everybody's got to go electric. Save the planet. Save the planet, my behind. We've been hearing that nonsense for decades. By the way, recently there was a climate change forum conference in Egypt. They had 800 private jets flown in, 800, to tell us all how we've got to go electric. My goodness gracious. 800-222-5222. Let's talk to Lorenzo in Huntington Beach. Lorenzo, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Thank you, Frank. We go way back. I used to listen to you in the early 80s. I'm going to make this quick because my battery's low, but I just want to get this in. You and I are brothers in the Lord, and he does work in strange and mysterious ways, but it's not so mysterious that he can't reach guys like you and me. I was used to flip up and down the dial, and you were one of the guys I used to listen to, and very bright, very clear like you are now, and I knew you had some. There was that line of truth that used to always, you were searching for truth, and even though you were in New Age, and I don't know what I was in, I was a Catholic like you were, but nevertheless, I was listening to a guy named Roy Masters. I got sucked into his church only once, went down there, and I goes, whoa, what is this? Then I listened to the guy named J. Vernon McGee on the radio on my Volkswagen van, and Frank, that little bit of word went to my heart. And the testimony of my three sisters who had come to Jesus in the Jesus movement in the 70s really had a impact on my life. Mm. And when my life fell apart like yours did, I gave my life to Jesus. I surrendered my bent knee to him and confessed him as my Lord. And I was so happy when I heard that you were on the radio and confessing Jesus. So thank you.
Well, all praise to our King, and I'm yes. grateful for you, Lorenzo. I hope someday we have an opportunity to talk at great length. I'd love to see you at one of my KMG events. We've got one coming up in February, cool. And at the very least, if you're not on my mailing list, go to franksontag.com and get on it. I love you and the Lord. Thank you for calling, and God bless you.
And that's franksontag.com, as simple as that.
It is as simple as that, for sure. You know, Lorenzo mentioned a guy named J. Vernon McGee. He is a pastor. Part of his program, get on the Bible bus. He's no longer with us. He passed away a few decades ago. But, man, you talk about just simple teaching. Let me give you 30 seconds. We're a little late, Anna. But just give me 30 seconds. So years ago, I tuned in and listened to J. Vernon McGee do a 5-minute sermon on ice cream. and you know, ice cream's kind of one of my weaknesses, or was in the past. And he drew it all together. I thought, this man is phenomenal. Simple, down-to-earth, logical, rational truth. And we believe that the Bible, God's word, does not return void. Maybe on the other side, I'll elaborate a bit more about all of you listening right now. They're like, ugh, I can't stand Christianity. They're all hypocrites. I hear you. But being a follower of Christ is not necessarily one and the same. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. With everything going on in the world, I don't know what I would do, how I would navigate through one day of this insane thing we call society if I didn't have a deep belief in God. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. We are live in studio. It is the day after Thanksgiving, and we are grateful to be here every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. If you miss any of this program, you can go to franksontag.com for the entire podcast. Virtually the moment we sign off. Also, my website is franksontag.com. I had a listener named Scott asking me about something I alluded to earlier in the broadcast about events that we do. Let me be very brief in like 30 seconds. So we do men's gatherings where guys from all walks of life, you don't have to be a follower of Christ, because we believe that the crisis is manhood. And we talk a lot about men stepping forward and what that means. And so we do events throughout California. We have a huge event February the 25th. In fact, tickets went on sale today at noon. We're going to do it locally in Los Angeles at Angeles Temple. Daryl Strawberry, my good buddy, will be there amongst other names. Just go to franksontag.com to sign up. It will be an amazing day from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's an afternoon event. We also do retreats and discipleship courses and leadership courses. You'll get all that by going to my website and, at the very least, sign up to get on my mailing list. Also, Jim just sent me this through my email address, frank@kmgministries.com. Please make mention again the documentary Died Suddenly, which the world premiere was earlier this week. You can find it on Rumble and some other sites. And I will give you a little bit of a warning. It is very troubling. I watched all hour and few minutes. It's about documented cases of people that became seriously ill or even died after taking the jab. It's called Died Suddenly. 800-222-5222. Speaking of lockdowns, Dr. Fauci was deposed this week. There's a lawsuit that was filed in Louisiana by the attorney general. And during his 7-hour deposition, Anthony Fauci could not recall key details about his actions during the pandemic. Oh, my goodness. He was deposed by Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry. Landry, quote, "It was amazing, literally, that we spent 7 hours with Dr. Fauci. This is a man who single-handedly wrecked the U.S. economy based on the science, follow the science theory. Over the course of that 7 hours, we discovered that he couldn't recall practically anything dealing with his COVID response. He just said, quote, I can't recall. I haven't seen that. I think we need to put these documents into context, end quote. Landry added, quote, it was extremely troubling to realize that this is a man who advises the presidents of the United States, yet he couldn't recall information he put out, information he discussed, press conferences he held dealing with the COVID-19 response, end quote. I'm not surprised. Are you? Landry sued the U.S. government in May, alleging it violated people's First Amendment rights by pressuring big tech companies to censor speech. Last week, Wednesday, was the first time Fauci testified under oath about his interactions with big tech firms, including Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. Before the deposition, Landry said in a statement, quote, "We all deserve to know how involved Dr. Fauci was in the censorship of the American people during the COVID pandemic. We're going to follow the evidence everywhere it goes to get down to exactly what has happened, to get down to the fact that our government used private entities to suppress the speech of Americans," end quote. There are a lot of you listening right now, and you're like, yes. Let me just tell you this. See, talk radio is a powerful medium. I have a microphone. I can share my thoughts and views, which are my thoughts and views, not necessarily anyone else's or entities or the radio station. This is my view of things. But to have the ability to speak to thousands of people, and probably safe to say 99% of you I'll never hear from, but I know a lot of you are listening right now, and most of you, maybe even early on, when we first started hearing about COVID, and all the fear, you were concerned, justifiably so. But somewhere over the summer of 2020, or maybe in the fall or the winter, or the beginning of 2021, you started thinking, wait a minute here, there's something wrong or there's something missing here. For me, the big red flag was when doctors, I got to know one in particular, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, who treated hundreds of patients in upstate New York that got COVID. He saved all but, I believe, three. They were seriously ill. He treated them with hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, zinc sulfate. And he became a friend and really educated me and shared a lot of interesting observations about what was going on with censorship and the shutdown of anybody speaking out against anything other than what we were being pushed in the mainstream. Right? Take the jab, take the drugs. No early intervention, nothing about therapeutics. Ivermectin was scapegoated and demonized, as was hydroxychloroquine. By the way, few bucks, basically nothing. Remdesivir, obscene amounts of money. Yeah, I think a lot of it is about greed and profit. Don't get me going on pharmaceutical industries. But when we started seeing the shutdown of information, just alternative information, I think millions of people across the country started going, something just is not right. Then you fast forward to the mandates. Thousands of people say, I'm not taking the shot. I'll leave my job. I'll quit my job. You suffered greatly. Dr. Zelenko passed a few months ago. One of the last things he told me, he said, Frank, I believe in every ounce of my being, there will be a day when we will have criminal proceedings. And a lot of these people will be held accountable by what they did to so many innocent bystanders. But at the very least, you know, things like ivermectin, been around for like 50 years, used for all sorts of stuff, all of a sudden became demonized and scapegoated. And all we heard was, again, all or nothing, mandate, take the shot. We had the president, this buffoon, this senile old man, sorry, take the shot, saves lives. You know, be smart. You can't spread it and blah. And all this is blown up. All these people have gotten COVID with their, 18th booster. And here's the bottom line. And I mean this with all the sincerity and sensitivity. COVID was, yes, in some cases deadly. And slash, but when you take into actual statistical data from the very beginning, many people know that there was a group of people that were more likely to get seriously ill versus this push as if it was somehow akin to the new Black Plague. Never was there, never will be there. Treatable, especially early intervention. And it's reprehensible the way in which still to this day, a lot of these people that have padded their pockets, these power-hungry, corrupt entities are still pushing this nonsense. And I think 2+ years into this, the onus is on us now. If you still buy this stuff, hey, that's on you. But I think many of us still stand for freedom to decide how you choose to live your life versus this mandate stuff. I welcome your comments on air, 800-222-5222. Or you can also email me at Frank Sontag or just Frank at kmgministries.com. Our final segment is upon us, and it's next, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. We are live in studio on this Friday night after Thanksgiving. I pray you and yours had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and it is good to be back in studio. I just got an email from listener Rudy at frank at kmgministries.com. Frank, good to hear you. Just wondering your thoughts on all this law of attraction stuff. And if you've listened to Myron Golden on YouTube, parentheses, he's not a law of attraction guy. He's a believer. Thanks, Rudy and Whittier. I don't know of Myron Golden, but the law of attraction is a bunch of nonsense. And I know it because I taught it for so many years. He talk about just not having a clue. Oh, your thoughts create reality. And somehow you want to just change your reality, change your thoughts. And I mean, there's kind of a little bit of truth in that, right? Attitude is everything in life. It's not what's done to you, but how you respond to it. But we don't have that kind of power. I was watching Tom Brady's soon-to-be ex-wife, who is someone that is very much into the new age. I saw a video on, I believe it was Instagram, where she was talking about positivity and putting out good thoughts and, you know, a lot of, in some ways, very innocent stuff. But it is taken very seriously to the nth degree by some entities that will charge you obscene amounts of money to take their workshop, their life-changing, you name it, you do it, by which it is, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I became a follower of Christ, I realized there's a certain amount of demonic overtones to the new age, opening up doors to the demonic. Let me just read you an email that I sent out in 2010. I just found it in my files. This is what happened to me when I became a follower of Christ. I went from a New Age teacher, and I sent this out to all my followers. I had thousands of followers. The subject, why is Christianity a bad word in these modern times? This is March 22nd, 2010. Can't believe I found this email. This is 3 months after I became a Christian or a follower of Christ. There is a difference in some ways. Dear friends and family, in my last email, I shared with you that I was going to begin to start writing a bit more on my take on life these days. Well, here you go. It seems as if my recent conversion to Christianity has rankled a few feathers. In fact, at a recent Impact men's group, I used to do men's groups where guys just sat down and talked about life. At a recent Impact men's group, I was asked about why I sign off my emails now with In Christ. when I shared about my recent submission to Jesus, let's just say the energy in the room completely shifted. I even heard the word betrayed. On another occasion during a recent talk show, I did talk back then as well, I was interrupted on the break and was asked in a contemptuous way, "You're not a Christian, are you?" So what's going on and why are some of us spiritual folks so turned off by Christianity or organized religion? And then I wrote, "Before you stop reading this or ask to be taken off my mailing list, hear me out." The reaction in the men's group did not surprise me at all. In this day and age, it seems that whatever exposure we have to quote-unquote Christians comes through the media in which they are portrayed as judgmental, hypocritical, intolerant, mean-spirited, right-wing whack jobs. There are scores of people who say that they are Christians, but as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once put it, quote, "Many people falsely represent themselves as Christians. They are rich in their creeds and anemic in their deeds," end quote. In the case of organized religion, I understand that some of us have suffered and have been hurt deeply by religious abuse. I wrote 13 years ago, "I, for one, have for years talked about my disdain for dogma and have often used analogies like religion is the ladder, spirituality is the roof. So what happened to me?" I wrote, "Here's the short of it. I began to realize around the end of 2009 that what I called spirituality was an excuse to justify and rationalize what was easy and workable for me. You know, playing it safe. Almost all of the spiritual work that I did was centered on myself. And what little time I had left over was dedicated to God. I also began to see that the personal and self-development movement that I guess I could have been loosely categorized with was part of the problem. In that, once again, it is mostly centered around self, which, by the way, is today's culture. In my many years of public lecturing, I've often referenced many of our great teachers and prophets as a source of inspiration. Jesus Christ was on the top of that list. I wrote in 2010, "I've now decided and committed to truly investigate who he was and is and what part he plays in my life." In my more than two decades of service and public talks, hundreds of you have shared with me how inspiring my message has been. I do appreciate your kind words, but in truth, my role in life has now turned to telling people that it's time to be first and foremost inspired by God's message. For me, that message is to be spread through his Son, Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And then I signed off, "Please know that I'm yours in Christ, Frank." Look, let me tell you this. When I first became a follower of Christ, I honestly wasn't sure what I was getting into. I had a moment in time where I had an encounter undeniably with the risen Savior. That was my experience. And I said, "I'm in." I started reading the Bible, started going to church, pretty much lost everything that I had and knew, and was challenged to tap out pretty early. Like, "No, this is too difficult. I'd rather go for, you know, the selfish me stuff, not live my life for him. But some 13 years later, it dawned on me somewhat recently that most of the problems in my life centered around me and things that I did to me, not somebody else doing it to me. I was my own worst enemy. I thank God every day that he saved me from myself. One of the first scriptural references that I began to read and to live was, "Deny myself." Jesus said, "Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me." He is a real biblical character, a real figure that walked the earth. And I will just say this, there is a lot of religious abuse. There are a lot of people that hear the word Christian like I did, and you just go, no thanks. But I would lovingly challenge any of you, continue to listen to this program, find out more about my men's ministry, come to an event, send me an email, have a conversation with me, just about what this whole thing is about. What is life really about? Who are we and why are we here? I believe there is a God, a creator of everything, that made you in his image with a perfect plan and purpose for your life. And with 2 minutes before we sign off, I'm going to tell you the greatest thing in this life, most important thing for you to know, that you are his beloved son, you are his beloved daughter. God loves you. He made you in his image. It's one of the hardest things in life to embrace, but it's the answer to everything. Once you start recognizing God's love, I teach it to men. We call it sonship. Once you start realizing how God loves you as his son, everything changes. We compete with the world, struggle with the flesh, and all the other things. We, as Christians, believe there's such an entity called Satan. But a father, when most of us think about our relationships to our biological fathers, it's not good. So that's where the disconnect is. If you're listening to me and you're a woman, you are God's beloved daughter. He adores you. And more men need to love you and treat you accordingly. A lot of guys are buffoons. That's where my ministry comes in. And to get a guy that has been abandoned by his father biologically to come to an understanding that there is a God of the universe, a father that loves him as his son, one of the most difficult things. But when you begin to understand that, you begin to recognize everything makes sense, that you can have a relationship with God the Father right now. And if we can help you in any way, be a small part of that, please contact me at franksontag.com. You can email me at frank@kmgministries.com. I've got no agenda here. No agenda whatsoever. Other than to come alongside you and say, in this crazy world, there is a way that you can navigate through it where it makes sense. And you can have a joyous, fulfilling life that is second to none. I want to thank Anna for running controls and Adam coming in and screening the calls. Lord willing, I'll be back here next Friday night with another program. If you missed any of this program or any past programs, go to franksontag.com. The podcast is there. And again, if I can help you or email you in any way, just reach out to me and I'll respond. frank@kmgministries.com. Lord willing, we'll be back next Friday night for another version of this. Spread the word. Let your friends know. We're on every Friday evening from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. That's Pacific. And outside of Southern California, you can find us at kabc.com. Until next week, may God bless you deeply. And I hope and pray that you have a joyous weekend. This is the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver, Phil Liberatore.